Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vinny B. Says waiting for host. How about on air? Oh, there we go. My internet is crawling. Oh, got new phones, and we've decided to activate them ourselves, so we're trying to back up all our old files because I'm not sure that new files are going to, they're not going to get transferred over, so you have to back them up. And my wife decided to do hers first, and she has over 4,000 pictures, and it's taking forever, and it's grinding the internet to the halt. I mean, download speeds are one thing. Upload speeds are like 10 Mbps per second. Your uploads are usually around 2. But if you're clogging that line, you're squeezing your downloads down to about the same. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. But things are going. I'm still waiting for audio to upload so I could play some audio from the Circuit of the Americas. All three series were out there this weekend. IndyCar is in the process of qualifying. I think they have their pole position, and then we have the the rest. I don't know. Things are different. They used to have like the whole month. They'd qualify, and then they won about 4 different days, and then they had bump day and carburation day, which don't make any sense because they use fuel injection now, but, you know, it's part of the tradition. But anyway, I think we do have an Indy pole winner. As soon as I find it, got to wait for that to upload. NHRA out in Houston was rain delayed till today. Yesterday, NASCAR at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. And they ran in the rain on the road. And from the tweets I've been seeing, let's just say they weren't too thrilled. It was, I guess, raining too hard. They had the one windshield wiper. Rain tires, you know, tires with tread. And they went for it from there. Now, the Xfinity race, I guess it wasn't as bad, but the Cup race, I mean, you could barely see it on TV. But imagine what the drivers were going through. It wasn't pretty. I mean, I was trying to watch it on TV yesterday, and it's like, where's the cars? I mean, they were able to catch some of the action. I guess when the rain lightened up and when they're spraying all that water around, then they had to red flag it, and then they shortened it. So it did not make the full length or distance due to weather, but they did get it in, and whether they were, I guess, destined to try it out that way. I've never, as far back as I can remember, they've had rain tires, they've had the wipers, but I don't ever remember them actually using them in a Cup race. And, of course, on a road course, they weren't going to try that on an oval. And I can understand why. But anyway, post-race media availability to virtual COTA, iRacing Pro Invitation. Ah, there we go. Finally got it uploaded. But you don't have Monday up yet. But then again, I'm still downloading this stuff. Well, anyway, let's find on the in the results of qualifying. This is day two. I guess I still got day one in there in the inbox. Well, let's see what we got on day two. Let me go back to day one. Sometimes day two bumps out day one, except for the pole, or maybe even the whole front row. I think it's pretty much the same. Scotty Dixon right now has the pole. Colton Herta in second. Rhinus VK. Alex Palou, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Julio Castroneves, Marcus Ericsson. This is in qualifying order. Eddie Jones and Alexander Rossi in 10th. I think he's the defending Indy 500 champ. Ed Jones in 11th. Peyto O'Ward. Pietro Fittipaldi in 13th. Felix Rosenquist. Takuma Sato. James Hinchcliffe, Scott McLaughlin, Graham Rahal. Come on, Graham. Get it together. You gotta impress Wifey. Wifey's Courtney Force, anyway. And the new baby. That's probably why she stepped out of the car. Like, lo and behold, I'm not driving anymore. And then, lo and behold, you see her with a baby. Connor Daly, Jack Harvey in 20th. Of course, we only have 33 that make the field. Joseph Newgarden in 21st. J.R. Hildebrand, Santino Ferrucci, Juan Pablo Montoya, Marco Andretti, Simone Pagino, Sebastian Bourdais was the 27th. 28th, Stefan Wilson, Max Chilton, Dalton Kellett, Sage Karam, Will Power, and at the bottom, Simona DiSilvestro. And that's day two. Let me see if I can go back to day one. That would have been Saturday. Here we go. We did have it. A video news feed. I don't want that. I wanted the... Go back to the inbox there. I don't have the... It would have been Saturday. Did I just pass it? There we go. Day one. Day one qualifying. It comes down to I never did play the theme song. Open. Oh well. A little Metallica fuel there. I'm still waiting for that to come up. We'll queue up the audio for the Truck Series race. All right, day one, Scotty Dixon, Colton Herta, Tony Kanaan, Ed Carpenter, Rhymus VK, Helio Cash, Nevis. Everybody but the final three. We have up and down to 30. So there's not much change there. Just day three, the final three spots were filled out because I don't see...
Hey, Kaz, can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking them.
Sorry about that. Trying to cue things up there, and you thought you had it on pause. But that's how it goes. Anyway, there's your IndyCar top 33, day two, finish the qualifying. All righty. NHRA. In Top Fuel, looks like we have only 14 entries or 14 qualifiers. Steve Torrence and Mitch King in round one. Then the next block is empty. And then Mike Salinas and Billy Torrence in round two. Clay Milliken, Arthur Allen in three. Leah Pruitt, Justin Ashley in the fourth. Sean Langdon, Josh Hart, Antron Brown, Lee Calloway, and Brittany Force, Doug Coletta. Your finalists are Steve Torrence and Doug Coletta. All right, let's follow Torrence's path. First, Mitch King, 063, 4047, 261. Mitch King, .362. Was he sleeping or new to the field? But he had a 6.57. They both had some issues. Round two for Torrence up against nobody, .247 reaction, but he did a 3.71 with a 1. So the ET counted. He wasn't going against anybody, so he didn't really have to jump at the light. In the semis, up against Clay Milliken, here's where it gets competitive for Steve, 065 for Torrence, Milliken, 075. Torrence with a 370 with a 3, Milliken, 376 with a 2. Into the finals goes Torrence. His competition... up against Brittany Force in round one, 045 to her 055. She had traction issues and with a 473 to his 376. And up against Antron Brown, his 056 to Antron's 054. Probably wouldn't have worked if Antron had a smooth run, but he didn't. 588 for Brown. 377 with an 8 for Coletta. Up against Sean Langdon. Must be lane choice because it looks like that same lane was having problems. Sean Langdon, the 049. Coletta with an 074. 3100s is usually a good advantage off the light, but again, 418 with a 1. Coletta, 399 with a 7, setting the stage for Torrence. Coletta in the, looks like the lane of choice. 052 off the tree for Coletta, 054. I guess they both didn't have that 3 points under 4 second run that they needed. Torrence was close with a 400 with a 1, and Coletta with a 5.7 with a 0, 570 with a 6. Torrence takes it. Coletta, obviously, the runner up. Low ET, Billy Torrence, 369 with a 4. Best reaction, Leah Pruitt, 20, which is really good for Nitro. Top speed, Billy Torrence. Or did Billy Torrence? I probably had it in round one. Leah qualified number 2. She was at 0.2. Billy Torrance, where are we at there? 369 with a 4 in round one. So, yeah, traction became an issue. On to the funny car. Who is the funny car? In the finals, it's Ronnie Capps versus Robert Height. Robert Height, number 5 qualifier. Capps, the number 3 qualifier. John Force, who won the four wides, didn't have such a good day, and he was qualified 9th and lost to J.R. Todd. Bob Tasca was your number 1 qualifier. He made it all the way to the semis, beating Jim Campbell and J.R. Todd, but Robert Height, who was on his way to the finals, took Bobby Bodie in round one with Bodie with no time. Height with a 393 with a 3. Then up against Cruz Pedregon, an 059 off the light. The Cruz is 082. And Height's 391 was a lot faster than Pedregon's 399. Then up against the number 1 qualifier, Bob Tasca. Off the tree, pretty even. 051 for Tasca, 055 for Height. Tasca with a 394 with a 9. Good time, but not good enough. Robert Height, 390 with a 9. And that 4-100 was the gap between the wind light and the non-wind light. In the final, well, we got to get Ronnie Capps in there first. Ronnie Capps up against Paul Lee. He was the number 3 qualifier. 093 to an 086 for Lee. But Lee with his 395 wasn't enough to get across the line before Capps' 389 with a 4. In round two, teammates, Ronnie Capps, Matt Hagen. Ronnie Capps, 073. Hagen, 077. 392 with a 9 for Capps. 396 with a 4 for Hagen. So 4 100ths for 45 1,000ths, to be accurate. Capps takes it. Then up against Tim Wilkerson. Now, this was an interesting round because Tim Wilkerson had an 066 off the tree, and Ronnie Capps at an 080. So you're looking at 14 1,000ths difference, but Capps with a 391 with a 5 was able to get to the line first because Wilkerson was a 399 with a 9. Setting the stage for Robert Height versus Ronnie Capps. Well, as soon as the light went green, Robert Height with an 046, Ronnie Capps with an 057. If that wasn't bad enough, Height had a clean run with a 391 with a 6. Capps, not so much, 468 with a 4, giving it to Height. T was Ronnie Capps with a 389. Best reaction time, when it counted in the final, 046 for Height. Top speed, 328.78. For Robert Height. Pro stocks. Turned out to be an interesting round. The number 1 qualifier was Dallas Glenn. Finals came down to Matt Hartford and Greg Anderson, who won the four wides last. No, he didn't win the four wides last week. Dallas Glenn did, which is a rookie. Now let's follow their path. Ooh, that sucked. Eric Anders, number 4 qualifier. Matt Hartford, number 5. He made it to the finals up against Greg Anderson. Okay, Hartford, 038. Kenny Delco, who qualified number 12, 074. A 656 for Hartford, a 663 for Delco. Then up against round 2 against Erica Enders. 013 for Hartford. 020 for Enders. You're looking there at 0.007 of a second reaction time faster for Hartford. And for some reason, Erica Enders, now this is a photo finish here. At least it should have been. 657 with a 3. Matt Hartford, 657 with a 7. So that's 0.007 would have turned his ET to a 657 with a 0, giving him a 0.03 edge at the line over Erica Enders. So in other words, hole shot. Kramer in the semis, 0.016 for Kramer, which is almost as good as Hartford in the previous round, with a 6.57 with a 6. Hartford, 0.008 off the light. So that's a 0.008 advantage. But he had the quicker ET, no hole shot needed here, 6.56 with an 8. And up against Greg Anderson. Or Stanfield. I don't know who. What the hell? There was no runner-up. So Anderson qualified number 2, 022, up against Fernando Cuadra Jr., 050. Anderson moves on. Troy Coffin against Bruno Massel. Anderson unopposed. 081, 656. Did not run the semifinals against Aaron Stanfield, who won against Mason McGehe. Well, I'm confused what happened here. Stanfield winds up in the semis, but Kyle Koretsky and Mason McGehe, who I think they screwed up here. They gave Mason McGehe against Kyle Koretsky, but if I'm looking at the times right, Stanfield had a 0-1 to McGehe's 1-0-9 off the light, and his 6.57 was a 1/100 quicker than McGehee's 6.59. So not only do you have a 2/100 of a second ET quicker, he had basically a .09 advantage off the tree, .10, because it's 0-1 and a 1.09 is almost 1-1, so you're looking at almost a 10th of a second advantage. So I think their media people screwed up and then in the second round, should say Stanfield, but it didn't. So, being that said, Stanfield winds up in the semis against nobody. I guess Greg Anderson couldn't get his par going. So Matt Hartford had a run of 0.033 against nobody with a 7.66. at a 145. He takes the Wally. No runner-up because he didn't compete against anybody. Greg Anderson had the lowest ET at a 6.53. Best reaction time was Hartford's 0.008, and the top speed was Roger Brogdon with 2.10. What else we got in here? Pro Stock Bike, did they run? I don't think they ran. No, they didn't run. This was in Houston. They had rain issues. They had to finish the event yesterday. So it was only basically the top three scheduled to run. Let's check the standings after that. It's just going to be wackadoo. Steve Torrance has a 140-point lead over Antron Brown. I'm just going to read over the top 10 and top fuel. With Torrance first, Brown second, Langdon third, Brittany Forrest fourth, Doug Coletta fifth, Josh Hart sixth, Billy Torrance seventh, Justin Ashley eighth, Clay Milliken ninth, and Leah Pruitt at the cutoff line. In the funny car. A little closer in the top three there, you have Bob Tasca ahead of J.R. Todd with 42 points and John Force with 77 back. And then Ronnie Capps, Robert Height, Matt Hagen, Tim Wilkerson, Alexis DeJoria, Cruz Pedregon, and Blake Alexander are your top 10 right now. That's the cutoff. In pro stock, Anderson leads Derek Kramer by 84. Erica Enders is third. Mason McGahey fourth. Byron Stanfield fifth. Matt Hartford sixth. Dallas Glenn seventh. Kyle Koretsky eighth. Troy Coughlin Jr. ninth. And Chris McGahey is on the cutoff line at the for the countdown. Okay, let's go to the Camping World Truck Series. Todd Gilliland takes the checkered flag. Kaz Grala is second. Gilliland won stage one on the road course, giving him 6 playoff points. Kaz Grala second, started second. Tyler Ankrum third, start from the pole. Grant Enfinger fourth, Sheldon Creed fifth. Trying to combine those two words there. Sam Mayer sixth, Carson Hocevar seventh, Zane Smith eighth, Austin Hill ninth, and Ben Rhodes rounds the top 10 out. Anybody? Haley Deegan had a 14th place finish. Good for her. Any other ladies in the field? Where's Jennifer Joe? Tanner Gray, former Pro Stock champ, 31st. Jennifer Jo, did she fail to qualify? Yes, she did not make the field. Sorry, Jen. I have to get Jennifer back on. 2 cautions for 2 laps. Stage 1 and Stage 2, incident-free otherwise. 8 lead changes amongst 6 drivers. This is the inaugural race for all 3 series, so Todd Gilliland does get the claim of being the first winner at the new track. It's his 2nd Camping World Truck Series victory. Let's hear what he had to say. Hopefully I can cue this up.
Time with us. We're now joined by Kaz Grala, who's driving the number 2 Young Motorsports Chevrolet and our 2nd place finisher in today's inaugural race at COTA. Kaz, can you just walk us through the challenges?
See if I can fast forward here.
Patient Todd, or is that Todd? I've got to make moves because I don't know.
Well, we had Todd. But... Well, let me get to the points. Maybe I can bring up the points. check on the points. Back page. Oh, this is going to be fun. I will play that in the meantime.
In contention for the win, that always makes it more exciting for people coming. So I hope they had a blast out there today. I'm sure they did, and I'm sure they're thrilled with the second place. I haven't even gotten a chance to talk to anybody yet since then, but I'm sure they're pumped up about it, and hopefully we'll have me back in their truck again.
Thank you, Tyler. Cass, sorry.
All right, Cass. Well, we will let you go talk to them now. Thank you so much for taking some time with us. Congratulations on the great finish, and we hope to see you back here once again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Sure. All righty. And to the media, we will join by Todd Gilford shortly once he finishes his other obligations. If you know you're going to have a question for Todd, feel free to raise your hand and get in the queue, and we will get started as soon as he joins us.
And we wait. They need to edit this dead air stuff. Oh, wait.
Hey, Todd, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can hear you.
Awesome. Well, we are now joined by our race winner. Congratulations on winning the inaugural race at COTA. And we'll get right into questions for Todd if you have one. Please feel free to raise your hand and get in the queue. And we will kick things off with Bob Cochran. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Todd, it looked like you weren't being very patient, that you felt like you needed to make moves. Was that patient, Todd, or was that, Todd, I've got to make a I gotta make moves because I don't know what's gonna happen.
No, that was definitely aggressive, Todd. Definitely, I'd say from the drop of the green flag, I was really, really aggressive on braking. Just as soon as I'd get to somebody, you really can't mess around in these trucks. The next guy will be right on your back bumper pretty quickly. So, if you got the truck to do it, I think you got to just be aggressive. And I was definitely aggressive. Probably made one or two people mad, but. You definitely just got to get by people when you can.
And I mean, you were going so wide on some of those turns. Like, were those how confident were you? Okay, I'm going to get it this time, or I'm going to get it that time, or were you just searching for what was going to work on this track?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think it's exit of 16. I was probably like the first one that would go all the way over the paint, and that was huge for me. I'd passed probably 10 trucks there, and then at the end everyone started doing it, so that kind of took away one of my passing zones. But for me, if I stayed on the racetrack, I could not get off the corner like whatsoever. So for some reason she had a lot of grip, so I just had to carry a lot of speed and get out there, and that's definitely the only way my truck would get off the corner.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congratulations, Todd. You took the checkered flag, you said something on the radio to the effect that you believe that you guys should be able to do this a lot more and that your team should get used to it. How close have you felt to kind of being able to break through and do this on a sort of consistent basis?
Yeah, I think it's so huge for my team. You know, a lot of these guys have not really won in their career as a crew member. And, just me saying that, I was just trying to tell them, like, soak it all in. Like, we need to remember this feeling, bottle it up, and try and do it every single week. I think that's the biggest thing that we can do is keep working together. But I'd say since Atlanta, we ran 15th and finished 15th all day. Since then, we've really, really gone to work hard on every single one of our trucks. And we've seen little steps every single week, with Darlington being probably our best race up to today, winning a stage and being really competitive, and then today coming here and I think having the dominant truck most of the race. So I've seen just leaps and bounds since the beginning of the season, and just super proud of my team.
And just curious, when you got the pit road penalty, how frustrating was it, but did you feel that you could get back to the front?
Yeah, it was frustrating, but at the same time, my pit crew has gained us probably 100 spots over the last 2 years, so they've literally been flawless since last year. So can't hold it on them too much. I was honestly really proud that we won the stage. I didn't really know where else the day would take us beyond that anyway. And then once I got back in traffic, it was a whole different world. I couldn't see a truck length in front of me. I got held up in traffic, it seemed like, for 5 laps in a row. And then we were able to short pit the stage and to kind of get back in the race. But it definitely makes you doubt it for a second once you get back at the very back.
Thanks, Todd.
Take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Todd, obviously, you can't – you can be aggressive, but you have to have the confidence to make those moves. So where did that confidence come from? And are you – is the confidence in yourself starting to feel like back to your old self?
Yeah, I definitely think some of those moves today or some that I would have done in the past that, at times are maybe not the smartest, but you just got to go for it. And I think just the confidence, though, you feel it out every single lap. I think on a mile and a half, the guys with great restarts that week are the ones that know that their truck will stick. The timid ones are the guys that are scared to go in on the bottom because they think they might wreck, So just I had a lot of confidence under braking today. I could outbrake a lot of guys. And my truck was just really stable all day. So I think that just allowed me to make better moves.
All right, we'll take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Sorry about that. How did it feel to get the first win for Ford? Because after Thor Sport left, you guys and your dad's team are pretty much holding the bag. Was it feel good to get the Blue Opal back in the victory lane?
Yeah, it's huge. This is my first win with Ford. And like you said, there's not many of us in the field anymore. So just to keep them competitive, we need to, stay in the game every week. We've been working really, really hard on the simulation. And, last year was a lot of learning all the new tools with Ford. And I think this year we're really putting them all to use. But they put a lot into our two teams, and they definitely expect us and want us to succeed.
And Jimmy asked you about the penalty and coming back from the penalty, but how does that bolster your confidence just knowing, despite coming from the back, you were able to do it with the kind of caliber of equipment that you had today?
Yeah, and it was kind of surprising from practice. I thought the two truck had a good run that was probably head and shoulders above everyone else. But, luckily when it was raining, our truck would just come to us just huge, halfway through these runs. But, yeah, just to be able to overcome a penalty like that, we see just every week there's a lot of fast trucks that can't. So just that our truck was that good, it just felt like I could go anywhere and do anything once I got to people. So, like I said, just all the credit to Front Row Motorsport.
It's Todd Gilliland. Sorry to get to a lot of that. I was waiting for stuff to come up. Anyway, in the Xfinity race, Kyle Busch started on the pole, takes the checkered flag in the inaugural Xfinity race at Circuit of the America. He led three times for 35 laps. A.J. Allmendinger was second. Justin Allgaier was third. Kevin Harvick, fourth. Austin Cindric, fifth. Harrison Burton, sixth. Cole Custer, seventh. Tyler Reddick, eighth. Justin Haley, ninth. And Jeb Burton rounds out the top 10. 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 25 seconds. Average speed, 72.72 miles an hour. Margin of victory, a wide gap, 11.02 seconds. With the win, it's Kyle Busch's 98th Xfinity Series win. I think he's shooting for 200. I mean, shooting for 100. And, obviously he's shooting for 100. And I think he said he was going to get to 100 and not run any more Xfinity races. They did limit the amount that Cup drivers could run in the lower tiers, so it could be a matter of time before, he could have done it a couple of years ago. Now it takes a little bit. Anyway, there were four cautions for 7 laps, 6 lead changes amongst 5 drivers. See if I can get to the Cup Series one. and we'll call it a show because I need better internet speeds. That's not going to take a while. Alrighty. I'm going to go with the top three from Sunday. And the rain shortened. Chase Elliott gets the win. Kyle Larson gets second.
There are a lot more road course races coming up this week.
And Joey Logano rounds out the top three. Last week, Hendrick Motorsports took the first four spots. This year, they at least get the top two. So we'll see what happens there. Well, let's play a little of the audio, then I'll get to the top 10.
Season, we may not see these type of conditions for a long time or could see them at any of the next few road course races. What needs to be learned to try to maybe prevent some of the issues today?
I don't really know. I don't really have an answer yet. I haven't gotten to watch replays and see things like that. But
sounds like Kyle
Larson. Really, from my seat, they've raced in the rain too, like Montreal and stuff before. So I can't really answer that.
And Rick. Look, certainly it's not like it's been a bad season for Chase, but obviously with not having a win yet, as other people talk about, when is he going to win, his other teammates are winning. Did you have to talk to him, or did you feel like you even needed to talk to him to kind of just see where his mind was to help him, or has he kind of grown beyond maybe some of that fatherly advice?
Well, no, I don't think any driver ever does. I mean, even Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon. You get in a little bit of a funk when you don't win and guys around you are winning. And, I've told him and we talked last week, and you know, just keep your chin up and go, you got a great shot next week. And, he's matured a ton, but everybody, Alan, all the crew chiefs, when they've had a bad day or a bad start or, a couple of bad races, that's when they need the coaching, or not so much coaching, but just saying, hey, man, you're the same guys that won the championship. Just show up, do your deal, and it'll be good. And I don't think Chase ever, I think he was, surely when everybody else had won there but him, he was concerned. But we all know his talent and Allen and the cars, and so just a matter of time. It's super competitive. I mean, you look at the wins by so many different teams, so many different drivers this year. It's it's hard to win, but he's matured a ton, and pressure doesn't bother Chase. He is cool like his dad. We went to Phoenix last year for the.
My audio got caught up with itself. Interwebs. Anyway, that was Rick Hendrick, the owner of the top two vehicles. Let's see if we have some buffering in this right now. Let's see. I guess not. Well, we're going to Charlotte this weekend and the Indy 500. We're going to have the Memorial Day 1100. We do not have anybody competing in the event, I mean, both events, Cup driver, I didn't see Jimmy Johnson's name in the qualifying for the Indy 500. I know he's been driving some Indy cars or the Formula One cars. Anyway, he's been doing that. Well, here's the rundown. We have, like I said, Elliott, Larson, Logano, Ross Chastain in the fourth spot, A.J. Allmendinger in fifth, Chase Briscoe in sixth, Michael McDowell in seventh, eighth, Alex Bowman, ninth, Tyler Reddick, and Kyle Busch rounds out the top 10. Race was 3 hours, 7 minutes, 11 seconds long. It was rain shortened. They only ran 54 laps. With the inaugural win, it's always nice to get the first trophy. Margin of victory under caution. Average speed, 59.024. There were six cautions for 41 laps, including the red flag. And 11 lead changes amongst 10 drivers. So next race, May 30th, which is Sunday, on Memorial Day weekend for the Coca-Cola 600. It's one event that they've been running for a long time. Actually got to sit through that a couple of times. I think it was Jeff Gordon and Bobby Labonte. Actually, a couple of times I saw Jeff Gordon and Bobby Labonte win their first cup races at the 600 in consecutive years. So anyway, my pick for next week, I don't know. It's going to be hard. Usually it was a Jimmy Johnson track, but things are changed, so I'll go with Brad Keselowski. So that's our show for today. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.